From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is hump day. That's right. It is Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. And of course, we are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. We've got a fantastic show in store for all of you guys out there. Of course, we will talk about what ensued last night in the Western Conference Finals as the Golden State Warriors fell yet again. For the first time all year that they've lost back-to-back games, and it comes at the worst time all year in the NBA playoffs, they now look at a 3-1 deficit as they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We will have plenty of chatter on that series. Also, folks, I was at Kircher Municipal Park yesterday to witness the opening round action of the Dean Shipley 55th Annual Diamond Classic. You don't want to miss that. You'll get to hear from one of the winning coaches from yesterday, head coach Al Schenkel of the DeWitt Panthers. You don't want to miss that. Also, Le'Veon Bell is targeting the Cincinnati Bengals, calling out a few players, and he claims that a few players have actually tried to injure him on purpose. So, yeah, we'll bring that story to you. And on the back end of the show, a few exotic locations for future Super Bowl dates have been officially set in stone. Find out where the Super Bowl will be heading in just a minute. Don't go anywhere, folks. Plenty of chatter. Our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 25th. All right, let's give you an update on what took place out at Kircher Municipal Park for the Dean Shipley 55th Annual Capital Diamond Classic. The DeWitt Panther baseball team opened the Classic with an 8-0 shutout victory over Portland in a quarterfinal matchup. DeWitt advances to face either Grand Ledge or Portland St. Patrick in a semifinal at Cooley Law School Stadium. That will take place on June 6th. And in the second game, Mason rallied to a 7-6 victory over Hazlitt in the Diamond Classic quarterfinal last night. Tyler Porter was the hero, folks. Yes, he was Superman, delivering in the clutch to help the Bulldogs advance. Porter and Chase Johnston each drove in runs in the 6th and 7th inning to lead the comeback for Mason, who is 14-9-1 on the year, which will face either Holt or St. John's in the semis on June 6th at Cooley as well. The Michigan State baseball team will take on Nebraska in the first round of the Big Ten tournament today at 2 p.m. in Omaha, Nebraska. The Spartans finished the regular season 34-18 and 13-11 in the Big Ten Conference to earn the 7th seed, while Nebraska earned the number 2 seed with a 37-28 overall record, 16-8. In the Big Ten Conference. The Spartans ideally need to win the entire enchilada. That's right, they need to win the Big Ten Tourney Championship in order to even qualify for the NCAA. It's going to be an interesting weekend, folks. Michigan State is making its third consecutive and 13th overall appearance in the Big Ten Tournament. The matchups for the 2016 ACC Big Ten Women's Basketball Challenge were announced today. In a joint release by the two conferences, in the 10th year of the event, Michigan State's women's basketball team will travel to Syracuse on Wednesday, November 30th. Mark that on your calendars at the Carrier Dome. Now, in each of the last two seasons, the Big Ten and ACC closed out the two-day event in a 7-7 tie. That's pretty crazy. Last 2 years, 7-7 tie. Wow. The Spartans and the Orange will meet for the only second time in program history. Just two times, folks, with MSU leading the series 1-0. Michigan running back Drake Johnson's accident last month was caused by a forklift. Yes, I kid you not, folks. folks. A forklift driver's error, according to a traffic report obtained today via a public records request. Now, the driver, Matt Johnson, said that he was moving a large cabinet that was at eye level at the U of M indoor track building on April 13th as the garage door was open for him. And he drove in. He felt a bump, stating that he thought he ran over a starting block. And when he saw Drake Johnson, a student athlete, roll from under the forklift. Talk about scary, right? All right, the Detroit Tigers, Justin Verlander, worked over the Philadelphia Phillies for 8 scoreless innings. And Miguel Cabrera doubled in one run and grounded in another, continuing his offensive awakening in May as Detroit captured its 8th win in 9 games with a 3-1 win over the Phillies on Tuesday night at Comerica Park. The victory moved Detroit to 23-22, 1 game over 500 for the first time since May 5th. That's a long time, folks. Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod, allowed a run in the 9th but closed out the win for his 400th career save. Now, Anibal Sanchez looks for his first win since April 28th in the finale of the 3-game series, which starts today at 1:10 p.m. We'll give you an update on that game throughout this hour. The veteran right-hander has put up solid outings early, but has struggled with a .341 batting average third time through a lineup. Held to one hit and one run through the first 6 innings, the Lansing Lugnuts tied up the Fort Wayne Tin Caps with a 7th inning rally before walking off with a 4-3 win on Tuesday night at Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, the Lugnuts improved to 23-20 with the series opening victory, enjoying their second walk-off win of the year against the Tin Caps. Fort Wayne's record fell to 23-22. For the first time in more than a decade, the Detroit Lions will practice with another team during training camp. The Detroit Lions will go to Pennsylvania August 9th and 10th for 2 days of practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers at St. Vincent College, leading into the preseason opener for both teams at Heinz Field on August 12th. The last time the Lions had joint practices came back 16 years ago in 2000 when the team worked out with the Carolina Panthers at Wofford College in South Carolina. And last but certainly not least, folks, the NFL owners awarded the 2019 Super Bowl to the ATL. That's right, Atlanta. The 2020 Super Bowl to South Florida. And the 2021 Super Bowl to Los Angeles at the Spring League meeting on Tuesday. The league announced that news. Now, Atlanta beat out, yeah, Isaac may be crying some tears on this one. They beat out New Orleans in the vote per Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, while South Florida bested Tampa Bay. The decision doesn't come as a huge surprise, though, as Atlanta will unveil the $1.4 billion, yes, billion with a B, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in 2017. I got a chance to drive by the construction of that stadium when I visited Fox Sports South and Jeff Gintner the later part of last year, and man, oh man, this stadium is insane, folks. So I see why Atlanta got that bid. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call in to be a part of today's current sports, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show.
Ooh. The last foul on Barnes. Beautiful pass. And what's the score? No excuses. No. You know, let's give credit to OKC. If you're the Warriors, it's time for a little
nice pass and finish there by Robinson.
Oh, they completely outplayed
them. Yeah. Let's give the credit to OKC.
Crusher,
they are beating the Warriors.
Give the credit to this crowd, one of the loudest in the game. Warriors are not the same team that we saw all season long.
Steve Kerr has thrown in the towel for tonight. Trying to get ready for game five here. And Ian Clark, who just checked in, not able to hit. And Robertson with a playoff career high. Westbrook for three. That's his fourth three-pointer. 36 points. 11 rebounds. 11 assists for Russell Westbrook.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Wednesday. That's right. All you got to do is get over the hump, and you're staring at Memorial Day weekend. You can do it. You can do it. And we plan on helping you there. On today's show, we've got a great one in store for all of you throughout this hour. And, of course, is there really any other way to start today's show? The Golden State Warriors. This is a team that made history throughout the regular season, folks. They broke the 95-96 Chicago Bulls record of 72-10, accruing 73 wins on the year. And it really seemed as though this team was really a bookend to make the NBA Finals. And to do it fairly easily, right? But Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook seem to have other plans. It's been an ugly stretch of basketball for Dub Nation, folks. The first time all year that they have lost back-to-back games. This hasn't happened all season. But yet the Oklahoma City Thunder have found a way to just really discover some chink in the armor for this Golden State Warriors team. Let's look at the numbers first. Steph Curry. What in the world is wrong with Steph Curry right now? And that's, you know, on that same notion, when asking that question, because I first off want to clear this up. Too many folks are asking right now, what is wrong with the Golden State Warriors? Instead of asking the question they should be, in my opinion. What is exactly right with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Because, in my opinion, this is the same Warriors team with the same personnel that we saw steamroll its way through the regular season. And again, take the regular season with a big bag of salt, folks, because it is the NBA regular season. The playoffs are an entirely different ball game. OKC and the Warriors met, what, a few times throughout the regular season? The Warriors certainly got the best of that argument. But at the same time, the playoffs are, as I just stated, a different ballgame. Steph Curry, 19 points on 6 of 20 shooting. 6 turnovers. Missed his first 10 shots. Finished 2 of 7 on uncontested shots, including, which this really blows my mind, including 0 of 5 on uncontested three-point shots. So throughout that game, Steph Curry was left 5 times wide open at the three-point line. And he missed all 5. That's mind-blowing. You don't see that happen often when it comes to Steph Curry. Russell Westbrook, my goodness, what more can you say about Russell Westbrook? And I totally agree with what TNT analyst Reggie Miller and Chris Webber had to say last night during the broadcast alongside Marv Albert. Russell Westbrook is the most explosive player I've ever seen in the NBA, folks. when he has a head full of steam and is attacking the rim, there is no one better in the game. Heck, no one better that I've seen all time in the game. He's unbelievable. 36 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. Folks, we call that a triple-double. Unbelievable stuff. And again, I told him I would call him out for this because he is an avid listener of the show, a dear friend of mine, my brother from another mother, Justin J. Dunn, who's watching right now and listening right now. He's been a fan of Russell Westbrook since Russell probably came into the league. And he's always told me how good he believes Russell Westbrook is and can be. Even before Russell Westbrook hit his ceiling, that ceiling where he is now. Really, sky's the limit for Russell Westbrook, to be honest with you. And he warned me about Russell Westbrook and how good he is. And now we're really starting to see the total package with Russ. He's a great defensive player. We always knew that he could score the basketball. But what's been so impressive is how he's getting his teammates involved. 11 assists. And he's been pretty unselfish this entire season. He's getting his teammates involved and making others around him better, which is so impressive this year when it comes to the dominance that is Russell Westbrook. So hats off to you, Jay Dunn. You were certainly right on that one. Kevin Durant, he did what he does. 26 points, 11 boards. Serge Ibaka. You know, and there was a moment in that game, and I couldn't fathom the Oklahoma City Thunder pulling out back-to-back games because, again, the Warriors have not lost back-to-back games all year. So I was a bit wary, even when the Warriors were in such a deep hole in the second and third quarter. But for me, the moment where I said, okay, the Thunder are probably going to win this game, where I really believed it is when Serge Ibaka started knocking down threes. when he hit that three-pointer, I'm sitting there saying, oh my goodness, yeah, this is impossible now. This is mission impossible for the Golden State Warriors. Serge Ibaka, 17.7 rebounds, and then the X factor for the Oklahoma City Thunder. How about Andre Roberson? Fantastic game. A double-double for that man. 17 points, 12 rebounds, folks. Draymond Green, who had the spotlight right on him, front and center, with the whole controversy on whether or not Draymond Green should have been suspended for this game due to the kick in the groin of Steven Adams. The league said, no, you're good. We'll fine you. You can still play. That was certainly a political move because everybody knows Draymond Green should have been suspended for that game. They let him play, but Draymond Green did not show up, folks. I don't know where Draymond Green has been these past two games, but he has just not shown up. He went 1 of 7 last night, 0 for 2 from three-point land. He finished with just 6 points, 11 rebounds, a virtual non-factor. And what really blows my mind when it comes to Draymond Green, and you can make an argument that he's even more valuable than Steph Curry for this squad, the Warriors have been outscored by 73 points with Green on the floor in the last two losses. Outscored by 73 points while Draymond Green has been on the hardwood in these last two losses. What's so mind-boggling about that stat is that Green had the NBA's best plus-minus this season, folks. Best plus-minus. I want to invite Isaac Constance behind the glass real quick. Just really briefly, Isaac, I want you to answer this question. If you had to guess what Draymond Green's plus-minus was this season, and he led the NBA in this category since the NBA has started up this statistic. What do you think his plus was?
A net plus minus based on per game?
Based on per game.
Okay. I'd say...
He finished plus. What was his plus? Because he didn't finish minus, obviously.
Of course.
What do you think it was?
14.
14? Oh, that's... You want to give another guess?
Higher?
Total. His total. I should say his total, not his average.
Over the course of the season?
Over the course of the season.
Oh, okay. 14 times 82, whatever that is. I don't know.
Want to do the math? Let's do that right
now. Yeah, let's plug that in.
So I have my calculator up here. So 14 times 82 is, you're very close, 1,148. It's actually lower than that, though, 1,070. How impressive is that? That's nuts.
Wow.
That is nuts, dude. Like, I had to do a double take when that stat was thrown out via ESPN stats and information. So he leads the league in plus minus. And again, the Warriors have been outscored by 73 points in the last two losses, folks. The Warriors have lost consecutive playoff games by at least 20 points for the first time since games 2 and 3 of the Western Conference semifinals against the Milwaukee Bucks back in the day. That was back in the 70s, all right? So no one saw this coming. You're lying if you said that you did. But let's break down a few questions here. Because, again, the theme for me when looking at this 3-1 series lead that the Thunder have over the Warriors right now, the key for me is evaluating the question, more so what's going right with the Thunder as opposed to what's wrong with the Golden State Warriors. Because in my opinion, when looking at these last two losses, the Warriors have made a few adjustments. You got to give Billy Donovan a ton of credit. They have made a few adjustments that the Warriors and Steve Kerr just have not found an answer for. Number one for me, and I've always said this, if you are going to give the Golden State Warriors any kind of trouble, you got to get physical with them. You have to get as physical as the game will allow you to get. And what I mean by that is, when it comes to their best player in Steph Curry, what I saw and what I have seen these last two games is that guys like Randy Foy, guys like Russell Westbrook, that guard core, whoever is guarding Steph Curry, is knocking him whenever a screen comes. They're denying him the basketball. We've seen at times, I saw Randy Foy last night tugging on the jersey of Steph Curry. You have to get physical with him, because if you let him run around and just do what he wants and not bump him whatsoever, he's going to light you up. Simple as that. But, again, on that theme of many people asking, what's wrong with the Golden State Warriors, I've seen this question thrown around. Is Steph Curry healthy? I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, folks. Dating back to when Steph Curry went out during the Houston Rockets series, and Draymond Green and company, and Klay Thompson and company held it down, held down the fort. That was a question, especially when Steph returned after a 2 weeks absence and scored 17 straight points in overtime. The question hasn't been brought up until now, and I knew it was coming. If the Warriors struggled, I knew it was going to come out. Is Steph Curry 100% now? Steph Curry being the upstanding athlete that he is, being the classy guy that he is, he totally dismissed it. He said, hey, I'm fine. He was asked about it. He said, I'm totally fine. I just got to go out there and play better. And that's where I'm coming from, folks. Steph Curry is fine. Steph Curry is healthy. Anytime you see a man going out there, he's not limping. He's not showing any physical demeanor that would elude you to draw a conclusion to say that he's not healthy. Steph Curry's fine. That's just an excuse that the Warrior lovers are throwing out there, in my opinion. Draymond Green seemed a bit rattled. I must say that, folks. Living in the spotlight that he had to after coming off of the big controversy with him kicking Steven Adams in the groin, Draymond Green has not responded. He certainly felt it from the fans out at OKC. And hey, much props to that sixth man out at OKC, folks. I mean, we always talk about Oracle Arena, right? You know, the Oracle Arena fans who are just unbelievable, right, in Golden State. But man, the Thunder fans are just as rowdy, folks. They were giving Draymond Green the blues, and I don't know, mentally, Draymond Green just doesn't seem there right now. And he admitted, you know, he said, quote, this is the first time in my career that I have not responded to adversity. So Draymond Green has to play better if the Warriors want any shot at this. But history does not bode well for the Warriors. Only 9 teams have climbed back from a 3-1 hole. Only 9, folks. Only 9. Now, I understand we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, a team that won 73 games throughout the regular season. But that's a tall order for anyone. So, if the Warriors do get eliminated in this year's playoffs and OKC rides into the finals, I don't think we can really call this the best team of all time. Of course, many people talk about that because the Warriors, I mean, they broke the Bulls heralded record. But if they don't make it to the NBA Finals, heck, if they don't win the NBA Championship, I don't know if you can call them the best of all time. And I thought I had an immediate flashback to what Michael Jordan tweeted out to the Warriors when they broke the Bulls record. Jordan said, "Hey, congratulations. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in the playoffs." Jordan basically, come on, we all know what that tweet really means, right? You broke our record, but you got to win the whole thing if you really want to be top dog. I get you, Mike, and hey, preach. That's so true. So there's a few questions I want to throw out to you guys. Do you think Steph Curry is healthy? As ridiculous as that sounds in my mind. Draymond Green, what's wrong with Draymond? And do you think they'll come back? That's the questions I want to pose to all you guys out there. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, what's your take on last night's game? Oh, Isaac's on the phone right now. I'm gonna get your take on that in just a second as we have callers calling in again. 517-355-WKAR. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, because there's so many layers to this conversation. Isaac, when evaluating that game last night, though, dude, what do you think about what has transpired in this series, and do you think that the Warriors can make a comeback here?
Well, I think the unasked question and the theme of it is actually even more so than, is Steph Curry healthy? It's, is he fatigued? Running around chasing Russell Westbrook after playing 81 games this season.
Right, right.
That's something. Or 79 for Curry, 81 for Draymond Green.
And that, for me, goes back to coaching. There is no way that Steph Curry can guard Russell Westbrook. Simple as that. And Charles Barkley of TNT said that last night as well. Steph Curry is just simply too small. Russell Westbrook is all strength. This dude is cut up. He's so explosive when driving to the basket that when you are the MVP like Steph Curry, having to guard that monster truck along with trying to get your buckets and make sure your team is still competing on the offensive end, that is a tall order. That's a grande order from Starbucks, all right? That's craziness. So I agree. I mean, hey, Steph Curry, there has to be an adjustment made here. And that's where I think that Steve Kerr, I don't know why Steve Kerr constantly had Steph Curry guarding Russell Westbrook. And Chris Webber pointed this out too. There was a moment in that game as well where if whoever, you know, Steph Curry was guarding, most of the times Russell Westbrook, what they would do is they would set a pick just to get, you know, physical with Steph Curry. So, I mean, he's just so exhausted that, as far as from that standpoint, yeah, the dude looks exhausted when he's playing out there. Let's take a few callers right now. We have on line one, we've got Jody from Canada calling. Jody, how you doing? Welcome to the show, my man.
All right. I'm not going to, you know, brag because the Raptors are nice now, 2-2. But, you know, at least I'm happy because after the first two, I thought it was a sweep. I told all my boys in Ohio, you guys go and get your rest, you know.
Right?
But the Raptors came back and showed some heart, so I have to give them credit for that. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is let you know what you're seeing out there with them knocking Steph Curry around and all that. But you'd have to add about 17 times more punishment is what the Pistons used to do to Michael Jordan.
Of course.
They didn't just hold him. They knocked him down.
Right. The game allowed you to do that. Exactly.
Yeah, it was the Jordan rules. That's what you see in 2016 Jordan rules. You know, now you hold him. But back in the day, you know, it was elbow to the jaw and, you know, throw him down. And see, Scottie Pippen's had headaches every time he played the Pistons in the playoffs for the longest.
And, you know, that's the conversation. Yeah, that's the conversation you bring up. That's a great point, Jody, because I was going to talk about that after the second break. You know, when I was watching that game and looking at how physical that the Thunder have been against Steph Curry, I mean, heck, do you think Steph would have survived back in the 80s? Would he have been the player that he is now back in the day?
None of them would be, because you're not dunking on cats in the 80s because their mamas are watching and they had pride.
Right,
you
exactly.
Get, I mean, come on now. You know, you flying through the air posing, going to the hole. No. You got knocked down in the IM.
Right. That's true.
Because, man, come on. You ain't embarrassing me in front of all these people.
I agree.
You had pride.
You know, and that's the thing. As great as Steph Curry is, he'll go down as the greatest shooter of all time. I just don't know. And again, you're really grasping at straws when you compare eras. There's really no way we can go into a time machine and throw Steph Curry back in the 80s. But at the same time, when just evaluating what we know about the game and how officiating has changed over the years, it's really hard for me to believe that Steph would be having the numbers that he has in today's game back then.
And you know what, really, what I really want to say about it, man, is that since they're allowing that holding and they've gotten Golden State all out of sync, you know, how does Kevin Durant leave OKC if they go to the NBA Finals or if they win the title? Because he is a free agent at the end of this year.
And I've heard rumors this morning about, you know, possibly Kevin Durant thinking about going to the L.A. Lakers, which I don't know why he would do that. But
I mean, anybody, the money, the TV, right? You know, the TV commercials, anything, the waking up to the sunlight versus waking up in OKC. But, you know, how do you leave that after you win a title or you go to the finals? How do you leave your team?
You can't. I think you have to defend that.
Look at it all, maybe that holding and grabbing might have a little more to do with, you know, I'm always doing the grassy knoll theory and I'm always, you know, that guy, but, you know, Come on, now you let them hold Steph in there, man. That's just huge. You can't hold that bad in football.
No, not at all.
Football is tackling. You know, I ain't seen folks get hit like that. Nowadays, in today's game, you don't even see people get hit like Steph Curry getting hit.
Yep, that's true.
I'm just saying, you know, 30
like
years
it, though.
Difference.
I like it, though, because, again, you know, we always know that when the playoffs hit, the referees do have a longer leash when it comes to tolerability and physical play. But it's been a while. You know, watching that game last night, it's been a while since I've seen that much physical contact kind of go loose.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah. Jody, great call, my man.
All right, take care, Al.
Appreciate it, dude, and congratulations to his Warriors as well. Yeah,
Raptors.
Yeah. Not his Warriors, right? The Raptors, because Canada right now is certainly riding high. Let's go to line two. We've got Lucas from the EL, East Lansing. How you doing, Lucas?
Doing well, Al. How are you?
I am fantastic, brother. What's on your mind?
I just have been listening to your show a little bit today, and I was hearing you guys talk about the physicality that the Thunder are displaying against specifically Stephen Curry, but I think it goes further than just Stephen Curry. They are physically manhandling this Warriors squad on the boards, on loose balls. I mean, I was watching the game yesterday. I saw Russell Westbrook dive on the floor, and save a ball to a teammate, which eventually led to a Thunder three. I haven't seen a Warriors player on the ground yet. They can't contain Steven Adams. They're trying to kick him in the family jewels. They can't contain him. He gets back up and he keeps playing. And ultimately, they're crushing him on the boards. And if you want to beat a hot shooting team, limit them to one shot. And the Thunder are doing a great job of that. That's why they're going to take this series.
That's so true, Lucas. That's a great point, because, again, there was a moment last night, Isaac, that I was watching, and, you know, Weber and Miller and Marv, they all talked about how the Thunder just looked like they wanted it more as well. You know what I mean? They just seemed like they really just wanted that game from an emotional standpoint more than the Golden State Warriors. I mean, guys diving for loose balls. The Warriors, they got – how many times did they get beat on the break? That's just effort, just getting back in transition defense and trying to slow someone down. Again, that's easier said than done, but I didn't even really see effort on that standpoint. So I think that's a great point you bring up, Lucas.
Yeah, I also got to say that, like you guys were talking about earlier, you can't stop Westbrook and Durant when they get on the break. You can only hope that they're not going to jam on you and that you're not going to foul them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Durant does that Euro step thing where he takes it, kind of picks the ball up in that little, like what Dwayne Wade does with that little scoop, and he steps off his left foot, and he's already 7 foot, so he's there at the rim, and he's just going to throw down on you.
Right.
You can't stop that. To me, that's the most unguardable move in basketball at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you when you can't stop that, especially when you have no centers on the court. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
OKC keeps going big, Golden State keeps going small, and now we're seeing for the first time a team defeat the going small strategy. We haven't seen that since the Heat in Miami and when the Pacers would really give them a test and give them a run for their money by putting in Roy Hibbert. Now we're seeing OKC do the same thing with Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka.
Totally.
Well, but actually, though, last night, Steven Adams got 15 minutes and Enes Kanter got 8 minutes. The lineup that they rolled with mostly was Ibaka at the 5, Durant at the 4. I think Roberson at the 3, Waiters at the 2, and Westbrook at the 1. And that lineup one of the reasons I think Draymond Green is struggling is because Durant playing the four, he's a bad man, and he is long. And Draymond Green, he's a big guy. He's like a bowling ball. I mean, I love Draymond from the area, you know? He's Spartan like me. So ultimately, I love the man, but he's not as long as Durant. He's not going to shoot over him, and it's going to be, you know, hard for him to compete anywhere with Kevin Durant that's not on the block. So if they're playing, and the same thing with Ibaka, switch him on to Ibaka. Ibaka's one of the best shot blockers in the game. So if you're Draymond Green, you're not going to be getting a lot of those good looks that he usually gets, and those guys are going to disrupt him with their length. And I don't think he's the kind of player who plays super well against length, and to me, that's kind of where the crux of his struggles are coming from, because I haven't seen the guy shoot the ball. I haven't seen him shoot the ball.
No, we have in the rare times that he has. I mean, he only took 2 3-pointers last night, Lucas, and, you know, the ones that he took, that they looked ugly. And that's the thing, you know, the Thunder have done a great job defensively in just not giving the Warriors second chance opportunities off the boards. I mean, how many times did we see the Warriors come down, get one shot off, rebounded by the Thunder, and they're off the other way? You know what I mean? They did not give them second chance opportunities, and that was a big component as well. But great points, Lucas.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Lucas, appreciate the call. Folks, if you want to call in, just like Lucas and Jody just did, and weigh in on anything that we're talking about here on the show or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you guys a recap on what took place last night at Kircher Municipal Park, day two of the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Want to read a few comments from our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports right now. Marcel weighs in and says, quote, Billy Donovan is out coaching the coach of the year in Steve Kerr. As you said, they were smothering Steph Curry. Thank you so much, Marcel, for weighing in. And Jay Dunn also is weighing in and saying, that's a bad man, Wes Cook. Then he says, I hate to say it, but Waiters has been doing a great job as well. That's another guy we haven't brought up. Deion Waiters has been fantastic, hasn't he?
And you and I actually talked about that off the show, I believe. We were saying, this guy can pass all of a sudden. Deion Waiters, a guy who was known as a ball hog, couldn't really do anything besides put points up when he was drafted fourth overall. Now, he can pass, he can distribute, and he can take some of that pressure off when either KD or Westbrook isn't on the court, which is the other thing that I'd like to bring up real quickly. They always distribute the playing time so that one of their key guys is on the court at the same time. That's not the case with all teams.
Right. That's so true. So I want to just ask the question. Do you think Steph Curry's healthy?
Yeah, I think he's healthy. I think he was healthy when he had 17 points in overtime.
Right. And also, When evaluating this squad, Isaac, can you really call this the greatest team of all time if they didn't win a championship in the same year?
No.
As breaking a record.
If they make the championship and lose in seven games, you can make the debate. But if they lose,
very fluky debate. But
yeah, fluky debate.
I don't think you can make a debate with that. I don't even think you can make that debate.
I think you can, but if you lose in the Western Conference Finals, and yes, this is a good Oklahoma City team that it's tough to beat when KD and Westbrook are on their grind. At the same time, this isn't a historically great team. The Spurs were a historically great team this year. OKC is a good team with two superstars who got hot at the right time and learned how to incorporate their teammates into the process. But it's nothing that the Warriors shouldn't be able to handle.
And, you know, I want to say this, too, and it's a point I make every year when discussing the NBA. The regular season's the regular season, dude.
Yep.
You play 82 games. How many times have we seen, especially, I mean, I tell you, when the season first starts, especially like in that middle area, right before the All-Star break, you see some bad basketball. It's like guys just going out there, going through the motions.
So lackadaisical.
Yeah, very lackadaisical. It's just like, eh, you know, the NBA really doesn't start getting really interesting until, you know, right before the playoffs start and you have a few teams vying for those last few spots in the NBA, Eastern Conference and Western Conference to try and make the playoffs. But, man, there's a stretch of bad basketball there. So I'm not trying to take away – well, in a way I am. But I'm just putting that in perspective that when you evaluate that 73-win regular season, please, it's the regular season. Take that into account as well. That's all I'm saying with that. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. I had a great time yesterday, day two of the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic, the 55th year, and I want to give a huge shout-out to Dean Shippey himself, who this tournament is named after. Dean Shippey sadly passed away last month, but man, oh man, he is certainly a staple in the Mid-Michigan community, and he will certainly be missed. And I got a chance to check out two games yesterday. The DeWitt Panther baseball team opened the Capital City Diamond Classic yesterday, in day two action, I should say, with an 8-0 shutout win over Portland in the quarterfinal matchup. DeWitt will advance to now either play Grand Ledge, who historically has dominated this tourney, and or either Grand Ledge or Portland St. Patrick in a semifinal that would take place at Cooley Law School Stadium, home of the Lansing Lugnuts, on June 6th. And then in the second game, I left early on that one just to get a few highlights for Current Sports TV, but I found out later that night that Mason had rallied back to a 7-6 win over Hazlitt, folks. Tyler Porter, the hero of it all, delivering in the clutch with a huge hit to help the Bulldogs advance in the Classic. And now Mason will face either Holt or St. John's in the semis, of course, on June 6th at Cooley Law School as well. And, you know, it's such an interesting tourney. And I got a chance to chat with actually the head coach of the DeWitt Panthers baseball team, Alan Schenkel, right after the 8-0 shutout victory. And here is what Coach Schenkel had to say.
Got to get the first one to go on, right? Great. You know, we felt great. Beautiful night to play. We just we're always honored to be in the tournament and have a chance, and just feel, you know, blessed to have a chance to play the game and compete. Trueweiler is a really tough pitcher from the left side, and our at bats were tremendous, and that made it. We made him work. We squared up a few balls, but you're right. All the way around, the pitching was really good. The defense was good. It's what you want to be doing this time of year. You just felt like, you know, Donovan was in control, and he had it. You know, he had it locked down. So we were happy with the way he went at it.
8-0, Coach. Are you surprised at that final result?
You know, it can go any way. You know, it's a baseball game, and it can turn on a pitch. So we're not necessarily surprised that we want to come out and play like that. We feel like we can do that often. But it could have went the other way just as easily. It's every year, you know, the weather breaks. It begins to become summer. The crowds come out and they watch all the local guys. And it's a great showcase for baseball in the Lansing area. Well, it's such a great venue. And, you know, it feels like the big time. You know, you get to play on that surface and in the big stadium. And with the apartments out in outfield, it feels even more like, you know, a big time stadium. So, you know, they'll be excited to play there.
Yep. That final out, kind of an exclamation on this game, just to finish it in sort of that fashion with the great catch there?
You know, a tremendous play. I think that was Trueweiler that hit it and put a good barrel on it. And, you know, I thought it was dropping. And then, you know, it's huge because it ends the game and you don't know what happens after that. So anytime you have a chance to end it, it's a huge play and a great play by Josh.
You may say that on SportsCenter tonight, huh?
Yeah, why not? It's not going to get much better than that. Yeah, real young. You're right, three seniors, and our sophomore class has come up and gave us a good boost, and they've gotten a ton of great experience throughout the year. A couple of freshmen up with us, too. So, extremely pleased with how we're playing, knowing that we've got a lot of the guys back.
All right, yes, that was head coach Alan Shankle of the DeWitt Panthers baseball team. Again, they advance as they get an 8-0 win over the Portland Raiders yesterday at Kircher Municipal Park. Again, DeWitt will now take on the winner of Grand Ledge and Portland St. Patrick. And Grand Ledge and Portland St. Pat's will play tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. in the second game of the doubleheader. Will be St. John's versus Holt. So, and again, on the last bit of that that snippet there that Coach Shankle was talking about was DeWitt's Josh Robinson. Man, you know what? I got to tell this story too because I love having like at least a play of the week on Current Sports TV, right? And the game pretty much out of reach, right? 8-0, late innings. We're talking about like the seventh inning here, right? So down to the final out. I turned my camera off. I got all my highlights. I know which plays I want to air. What happens? On the final out of the game, DeWitt's Josh Robinson makes a sick, and I do mean sick, diving catch at the fence to end the game. The ball is sailing to the far left. It had like a curve on it. So from center field to like left field. Then you see Josh, I'm sitting there saying that thing's going to drop. There's no way. There's no way that Josh Robinson is going to catch up to this ball. He turns on the Jets like Sonic the Hedgehog, makes a leaping catch to end the game, oohs and ahs throughout the crowd. And I'm sitting there saying, I missed it. I was a bit ticked about that, but hey. Shout out to Josh Robinson. It was that really could have made ESPN's top 10 plays last night, all right? But congratulations to DeWitt and Mason. Looking forward to watching some good old baseball as the classic ensues. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will take I know we have a few callers waiting. Don't go anywhere. I know we got a Apache one from Williamston. Don't go anywhere, Apache. We'll continue to take your calls. Also, we will talk about Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers, formerly of the Michigan State football team, saying that, hey, the Cincinnati Bengals tried to intentionally injure me. Yeah, we'll have details on that story and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A little over 10 minutes left in the show. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Apache from Williamson on line one. Apache, how you doing, my friend? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Been on that Trump campaign, man.
I hope not. No, I'm joking.
Hey, I'm scared now. Anyway, I just want to say that I have not had a basketball Jones since Chauncey Billups and Rick Hamilton and Rakeem played for the Pistons in the championship series, man. This is very, very fun. I'm really enjoying it, man. You know, the OKC, they look like barbarians at the gate. And I've always been mystified how a great team can win a championship and not win it the next year. So you don't have a lot of repeat of champions, and I see why now, because you cannot generate that ferocity that gets you that championship because it's so much work. And now you got the barbarians, man, at the gates of Rome who are jealous of the money, the attention, and the advertisement that these cats do. You know, they want to bring down the pretty boys. And you can see the difference in your previous two callers said it, you know, the tenacity between the teams. So it is really, really fun to watch, man. I'm really enjoying it. And every night I got to have my drones taken care of, man.
Yeah.
You guys take care, man.
Thank you so much, Apache. Appreciate that. And yeah, that's so true. And again, only 9 teams have made a comeback, you know, at facing a hole like this. And I remember one of those teams happened to be going back to, you know, Apache's point about not having a basketball Jones since 04 with Chauncey, Rip, and Ben. If you remember, on the verge of that Pistons dominance, the new age bad boys, if you will, they came back when Tracy McGrady and the Orlando Magic had a 3-1 series lead, and they are one of the 9 that have accomplished that very rare feat. And I remember being a young tyke, as you know, Isaac, I'm a huge Detroit Pistons fan, and I remember being a young tyke and watching that series with the family, and I went nuts, absolutely nuts, when the Pistons came back to win that. It is a very rare feat. But I just think with the way the Thunder are playing right now, they seem to have a sense of urgency every single game. I just don't see them. I don't see the Warriors coming back and winning the series.
Well, and that's the thing about being a successful basketball team. How much have the Warriors had their backs against the wall, really had to push against something difficult? This is a team that for the past two seasons averages beating teams by 10+. Now that they're losing by 20 or more in just about every single game against the Thunder, how do you respond to that sort of adversity? Because they haven't really been battle-tested just yet. If they are the best team in history, now's the chance to prove it. Because if they can overcome this, I mean, yeah, you can make that argument once again. It's back on. But at the same time, we haven't seen the Warriors go through any stretch like this in their careers. I mean, as NBA players, they're still young. They're still inexperienced. Yes, they're title winners. But at the same time, don't have that veteran leadership, I think, to necessarily push them through a 3-1 deficit.
That is so true. All right. Well, again, under 10 minutes left here. I want to remind you all that, hey, we tape Current Sports TV today at 3 p.m. inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building here on the campus of Michigan State University. I will be chatting with former Flint Northwestern and Michigan State basketball star Kelvin Torbert, who has partnered with Brandon Publishing to release his first children's book titled KT in the Radical Round Ball. How cool is that? I remember when Torbert balled out here at Michigan State under the tutelage of Tom Izzo, and KT certainly has had a great career away from the basketball court since his college days have long since passed. So I look forward to sitting down with Kelvin. If you want to catch that episode, you know the Current Sports TV airs each and every Thursday night on WKAR-TV at 10:30 p.m. All right, let's transition now to this story. 6 months after major knee surgery, Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell vows to return to 100% for week one. He also said he won't be naive, especially when playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Bell said after Tuesday's organized team activity sessions that the Bengals and other teams were targeting him last season. As you all know, Bell tore his MCL in week 8 as Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict tackled the fourth-year running back by the sideline. Bell said this, quote, "I feel there are a lot of teams that try to do that, try to take me out of the game. I don't think it was just Burfict. I believe like the whole team was out there, was trying to twist my ankles and do little dirty stuff in between piles. I was ignorant to the fact at first." Isaac, initial reaction to this one, because for me, isn't the overall objective for any defensive player that plays in the National Football League to go out there and inflict pain? Isn't that, that's like the job title of an NFL defensive juggernaut, right? To go out there, lace up the cleats, put on your pads and your helmet, and to go out there and hit somebody, right? So I really don't understand where Le'Veon Bell is coming with this. This is a man who I watched and covered at Michigan State University, and it was really remarkable for me. And when Le'Veon got injured this past year in week 8, I said to myself, you know, Le'Veon has been a workhorse dating back to his time here at Michigan State. I mean, basically, the offense when he was here at Michigan State was give the ball to Le'Veon Bell, everybody else just block for him. Everybody else just kind of get out the way or block for him, okay? And it was remarkable to me that looking at the amount of carries he would get on a Saturday-by-Saturday basis, and he would never get injured. And, you know, he went to the Steelers, and he was certainly a workhorse for their team. You know, he took a lot of pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger, I tell you that. And there were times where he would lead the league in carries per game. And I'm sitting there saying, I just feel like, you know, Le'Veon's a running back. At some point, something's going to happen here. But going back to his point that every team was out there to try and take him out of the game, well, yeah, that's in the job description, right?
Yeah, those types of carries take a toll on you, first of all. We saw that with Ricky Williams in the early 2000s. Mike Ditka, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, ruined that man's career and our franchise's future for the next 5 years. That's another rant. But, no, the thing with Le'Veon Bell, maybe he was given too many carries. Maybe that's what he should blame. Because the thing is, in football, we all know it's a dirty sport. We all know that when there's a pile on, everybody trying to get the fumble, nobody wants to know what's going on down there. It's a don't ask, don't tell policy, because when the cameras catch something, I remember Takeo Spikes or Brandon Spikes, I'm forgetting which one, I think Brandon, former University of Florida player, once gouging a player's eye in one of those piles. I'm sorry, that's horrific, but that's what happens. Football is about getting into the other team's head and hitting them on the ground. So for Le'Veon Bell to be upset about being hit a little bit late in a game, it sounds soft. And that's the theme of today's show, I guess, being soft, because that's what it sounds like. I know you're an NFL player. I know you had the most carries in the NFL season. But at the same time, it sounds soft when you're afraid of contact by other teams trying to hit you. That's the game of football. I'm sorry, that's not even a head-to-head hit. That's exactly the game of football.
I agree, man. I don't know. I like how you put that. It does sound a bit soft. You play in the National Football League. Now, if there's any two sides to this argument here, on the other side, Vontaze Burfict, he was the player that injured Le'Veon Bell in Week 8 as the Bengals took on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, when looking at Vontaze and his history when it comes to on-the-field injuries against his opposition, the NFL actually suspended Burfict for 3 games in the 2016 season for several hits, including multiple incidents against the Steelers. In 2015, Burfict was involved in plays and injured Bell, right receiver Antonio Brown, and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. And Bell said that Burfict actually sent him a direct message via Twitter in March. And Bell went on to say, quote, "He was happy to see me running. I appreciate it. I'm just glad to be out here." So Burfict reaching out via DM and saying, "Hey, man, I hope you're recovering." I don't think Burfict's a bad guy. He has the mentality that every defender out there has. I'm going to go out there and try to hurt you.
One for the Steelers to be sensitive about a guy who's injured a few players. This is Pittsburgh. This is the Iron Curtain of defense in the NFL, the terrible towels. This is James Harrison's workplace for years. A guy who put more players out of commission than anyone I can remember.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Toughen up.
Toughen up, man. Toughen up, Isaac says. I agree, dude. All right, really briefly here. Under a minute left here, Isaac. The NFL owners awarded the 2019 Super Bowl to Atlanta, the 2020 Super Bowl to South Florida, probably Fort Lauderdale or Miami, and 2021 to Los Angeles at the Spring League meeting on Tuesday. Out of those three, which one would you be booking your ticket to go to?
Oh, Los Angeles. Atlanta has no culture, and that's only because I'm a New Orleans fan.
Oh,
that's only because I'm a New Orleans fan, but we have a rivalry.
No,
Los Angeles is the place to go. Also, they're going to have that new Rams team, which won't be in the Super Bowl, but that would be a fun environment to see a Super Bowl in.
I'm going to say Miami only because I've been to L.A. before, and I've seen the Rose Bowl, even though the Super Bowl would be much bigger, but I would like to be in South Beach enjoying the Super Bowl. That's going to be crazy. So, all right, folks, we are out of time for today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. Same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.